All right, if you would, take your Bibles, open up to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, it's the second to the last of the minor prophets. We've had a couple weeks off in our study of the minor prophets, and so we come back to them tonight with two more to go, Zechariah and Malachi. And I'll just remind you that Zechariah was a prophet. Now, he was also a priest, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he was a prophet, and a prophet is a spokesman for God. A prophet does not have a message of his own. A prophet delivers the message from God, and that's what Zechariah did to God's people. And in our Bibles, it comes not only in order, but in chronological order. It comes after Haggai. Haggai is the shortest of the minor prophets. One of the things we did with the kids on Sunday morning in Sunday school, we just talk about the Bible every week. And we talked about Sunday, the number of chapters in the Old Testament books. Week before, we talked about the number of chapters in the New Testament books. And let me just give you a quick quiz. What's the longest book in the Old Testament from a chapter standpoint? Jeff, you can't answer. You were there. Brother Darrell, you can't answer. You were there. Longest book in the Old Testament? Psalms. 150 chapters. What's the shortest book in the Old Testament? One chapter. Obadiah. Only has one chapter. Okay? I can't take too much time, but it's interesting. So Haggai is only two chapters, shortest of the minor prophets, and then Zechariah is the longest of the minor prophets. Now, both Hosea and Zechariah have 14 chapters in them, but if you look up the verses, Hosea has 197 and Zechariah has 211. So it's the longest of the minor prophets. And Zechariah was a contemporary, or he prophesied at the same time that Haggai did. In fact, you don't need to turn to it, but in Ezra chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them." So the message that Haggai and Zechariah delivered were pretty similar because they were prophesying to the same group of people, and at the same time that God was dealing with his people in a special way. And we talked about this when we studied the prophet Haggai. This was the time that these two guys were on the scene was a turning point in God's dealing with his people. You remember that we talked about the theme of Haggai being, "From this day forward will I bless you." That was a message that he delivered from God. And that day that he was talking about, and I believe it was the literal day, was the end of the 70-year judgment that God had brought on his people and allowed them, allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed, allowed the temple to be destroyed, allowed the walls around Jerusalem to be destroyed, some of the Jews to be carried away into Babylon. And Haggai said in chapter 2 that from this day forward, this is what God says, "I will bless you, because the 70 years of judgment are over." And Zechariah sort of picks up where Haggai leaves off. And so some people have called the two-chapter book of Haggai a little introduction to the longer book of Zechariah. Same message to the same group of people from the same God. As you recall from our study of Haggai, his book starts out in the first day of the sixth month of the second year of Darius. Okay? And his last message came in chapter 2, in verse 18 and 19, on the 24th day of the ninth month, second year of Darius. So he's on the scene for about 3 months, okay? Toward the latter third of his ministry, Zechariah comes on the scene. So if you have your Bibles open to chapter 1, verse 1, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius. And so a couple of months after Haggai, And a month or so before before Haggai gets done, Zechariah comes on the scene. His name means Jehovah remembers. Jehovah remembers. It's always interesting to me how God gave these guys names that went along with their message. His message was going to be, and we'll talk about it in a minute, God does remember his people. And he will be jealous for them again. And he will return to Jerusalem with his mercy. And Zechariah, the name again means God remembers, even though we may go into captivity for 70 years, God hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't really taken his eye off of us. He still knows what's going on, and he remembers us. Now, he was the son, as it says there in verse 1, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. Iddo was one of the priests that came back from Babylon with Zerubbabel when he led the first group back. In Nehemiah 12:1, the Bible says, now these are the priests that went up with the Zerubbabel. And then in verse 4 of that same chapter, it mentions Iddo, I-D-D-O. So again, Zechariah was a prophet and a priest. And I think it was important that he be both at this particular time. You know, some of the prophets we've looked at were only prophets. They weren't priests. And in the message they delivered to the people, they got after the priest as much as they did the people. Because in some cases, the priests weren't doing their jobs. They weren't calling people back to God. They weren't reminding people of the of God's love. They weren't reminding people of God's power. And the prophets, and we studied them, they got on the priest as much as they did the people. But now, this remnant, 50,000 plus people, were back in Jerusalem. They come back at the command of Cyrus, the Persian king, to rebuild the temple. They've been back about 16 years when Zechariah comes on the scene. They had rebuilt their houses. Remember, we talked about that in Haggai, that you go to your sealed houses, you go to your pretty houses, but God says, my house remains in ruins. And so these two prophets were called of God to stir up the people to get the job done, get the temple rebuilt. And as prophet and priest, Zechariah sort of had a double appeal. He could appeal as a prophet, he could appeal as a priest to the people to get the house of God rebuilt. Now, before we start in chapter 1, and we're going to try to cover chapter 1 tonight, let me just give you a little outline of the book. It's divided into two parts, 14 chapters divided into two parts. And there's some controversy about whether Zechariah wrote both parts or not. And my feeling on that is, this is how God gave it to us. I'm just going to believe God. He wrote the whole book. Okay? Now, the first part is the first 8 chapters. Second part is chapter 9 through 14. In the first part, we have a prophecy that came by way of a vision. In fact, there's 7 visions that we're going to talk about as we study the first 8 chapters. It was written, and the second part is not the vision. The prophecy is a direct prophecy. It doesn't come in the form of a vision. It comes in a direct word from the Lord. Okay, so it's different in that way. The first part was written during the rebuilding of the temple. The second part was probably written a long time after the temple was rebuilt. The first part is very particular and immediate to the job that needed to be done. Again, it was written to this remnant that needed to get the temple rebuilt. The second part is more general and it's more far-reaching in that it deals with all of Israel. Okay? Just not the remnant, but all of Israel. The first part has dates. The second part has no dates. Okay? And so you can see there's a difference between these two. And by the way, the second part ends with the coming of Messiah. So you can see why it has no dates, because God has not revealed that to us. We don't know when he's coming back. Now, these 7 visions that we're going to talk about, well, I'll wait till I get to that verse. Okay, so the key phrase in Haggai, again, was, from this day will I bless you.
And the key phrase in Zechariah is, I am jealous for Zion again. I am jealous for Zion again. And let me just stop right here and tell you what that word jealous means. It means that God loves us so much. He loves us so much, and he's a jealous God. He doesn't want anybody getting in between us and him. He doesn't want anybody else to share any of our attention. He wants it all himself. So the word hadn't really changed. Okay? I mean, that's what jealous means today. But when it comes to God, God is a jealous God. He loves us more than we can comprehend. And he wants all of our love back. And so the message of Zechariah is, I am jealous for Zion again. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. Okay, now again, going back to chapter 1. So, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, again, came the word of the Lord. This wasn't Zechariah's word, this was God's word. The son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Zechariah starts his message with a reminder. He says to the people, I want you to remember, God was displeased or very angry with your fathers. That's what caused them to go into captivity. Now, this message that I'm going to give you, you ought to be thinking about what your dads did. You ought to be thinking about what your fathers did. And you ought to order your response to the appeal that I'm going to give you from God by remembering what your fathers did and remember how displeased God was with them. Therefore, say thou unto them. This is God talking to Zechariah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. So Zechariah got their attention. He said, hey, God was displeased with your fathers. Now here's his message to you. You turn unto him, and he will turn unto you. And by the way, that's the way God has always worked. If we turn to him, he will turn to us. But if we turn away from him, and we're his children, then he will bring chastisement on us. Whom the Lord loveth, if we sin, if we get off course, if we get off that straight and narrow way, because he loves us so much, he will bring punishment. And some people look at the captivity, the 70-year captivity, and say, boy, God, I don't know if God loved his people in that 70-year captivity. Yes, he did. The captivity, the punishment, the judgment was a sure sign that God did love them. And the fact that he's going to return his mercy to them just, again, proves shows the truth of some of the verses in the Bible that talks about that God's anger doesn't last forever. His judgment doesn't last forever. If his people will turn back to him, he will turn back to them. And that's the way God works. So he says in verse 4, be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. And again, Zechariah is saying, don't be like your fathers. I came to them with the same message. And I said, turn away from your evil, turn away from your wicked doings. But they didn't hear, and they didn't hearken, and as a result, I had to punish them. And I don't know if he said it, but I mean, it would have been a good illustration for Zechariah to say, hey, look around you. The temple is still not rebuilt. The city lies in ruins. The walls are still torn down. Everything you see about you is a result of your fathers turning away from me. And I would remind you tonight, God doesn't change. The way he operated with his people in this book is the way he operates today. And we need to take heed to this verse. If we turn away from God, he will turn away from us.
If we ignore this book and the message of this book, judgment will come and punishment will come and chastisement will come. But if we turn to Him, He promises He'll turn to us. He'll turn to us. So, again, the message that Zechariah was delivering to his people is a message that's still appropriate today. Verse 5, your fathers, where are they? Again, he was trying to drive home this point. And the prophets, do they live forever? And again, he was trying to get their attention. Where's your fathers? They're dead. They died when the city was overthrown, or they died in captivity in the land of Babylon. Yeah, there was a few of them that came back that we read about in Haggai. Remember when they were weeping over the temple? There were some that were old enough to remember the temple in its first estate, I think the Bible says, how it was before it was destroyed. But Zechariah was talking to, not about the minority, but about the majority. Where's your fathers? They're all dead. They died when the city was destroyed, or they died in captivity. Learn from them. Don't make the same mistake. Isn't it funny that how we have a hard time, people have a hard time learning from history? Isn't it funny that we have to learn the hard lessons ourselves, and we can never learn from other people? And he said, hey, the prophets don't live forever either. They deliver their message, and then they die. But then he says in verse 6, but my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophet, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. And what that verse is saying is, and put it together with the verse before, yeah, your fathers are gone. They turned away from me and I had the punishment. And even the prophets are dead. But my word doesn't pass away. It stands forever. And just like he said he would do, he hath done. That's what it's saying. Just like God promised, just like God warned, just like God said, he has done exactly what he said he would do. And so this message that Zechariah is delivering, he's going back to the past and he's saying, now look, God told your fathers this. They turned away from him and disobeyed, didn't pay any attention. Now you have a choice. Are you going to listen and do what God says? Or are you going to be like your fathers and turn away from him? Don't think God's going to treat you any different than he did your fathers. You're going to get the same treatment. You turn away from him, he's going to turn away from you. You turn to him, he's going to turn to you. And by the way, this is still a truth today. The promises in this book have not, will not change. They were true when they were spoken and written, just as true as they are today. So, like when we read in Joshua 1:8, blessed is he who reads and meditates in this book, I will make his way prosperous. That promise is still true. That promise that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That promise is still true. That promise in the book of Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not, is still true. That promise that says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death, is still true. God doesn't change. He hasn't become more modern. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can preach about this God that where there is no hell and there is no punishment, but someday somebody's going to wake up and know that somebody lied to them, because that's not what the Bible says. The promises of this book don't change. And just like God says that he dealt with his people, he will deal with us today. Okay, verse 7. Now, upon the 4th and 20th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. Now, we're ahead. He started in the 8th month. We're now in the 24th day of the 11th month. This is 5 months after they had started rebuilding the temple. This is 2 months after Haggai's last message. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah. Not his message, but God's message. So he says in verse 8, and here's the start of the first vision. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Okay? And by the way, we'll see as we go through these seven visions, they all came in one night. All came the same night. Okay? And so and by the way, a vision is different than a dream. Sometimes God has revealed things, like in Pharaoh's case, about the seven good years and the seven bad years, he had a dream. A dream is something you have when you're asleep. A vision is something you see when you're awake. So Zechariah wasn't asleep when he got this vision. He was awake. It was nighttime. He said, I saw by night, and what did he see? He saw a man on a riding a red horse. He was among the myrtle trees, which is a large flowering bush that still grows in that part of the country over there, in a hollow, a low place, a marsh maybe. And maybe that pictures the low place where Israel was at this point in their history. Behind him was red horses, speckled horses, and white horses. And in verse 9, then said I, O my Lord, what are these? I see this guy on a red horse. I see these horses behind him. And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. So Zechariah, when he saw this, says, well, what is it? I mean, we do the same thing. I mean, if God showed us a vision, and we say, what's this? What does this mean? What does this represent? And God said, well, I'm going to show you. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, so this was the guy that was on the red horse, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. We're a scouting party. God sent us. He told us to go throughout the earth. Verse 11. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, okay, we have walked to... Well, okay, let me back up for a minute. So maybe it wasn't the guy that was riding the red horse. Maybe it was the angel. I just noticed that. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees was the angel, answered and said, okay, God sent these to go throughout the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord. So this is the guys that are on the horses. We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth setteth still and is at rest. So we've done our job. We've done what you sent us to do. We've walked through the earth, and all the earth is at rest. They're resting quietly. Now that compares to all the anguish and all the trouble that Israel was in. I mean, they were trying to rebuild their temple. They were their walls were torn down, so they had no protection. They could be plundered at will, so to speak. Nehemiah talks about that in his book. Same time period. And so everybody else is at rest, but the people of God are in trouble. Then the angel, verse 12, then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And so the angel's asking God, how long is this going to go on? You've punished them for 70 years, the 70 years that you told Jeremiah that you were going to do it, that Daniel read about, and penned the prophecy of the coming king. I mean, you've punished them for the 70 years. The 70 years are up. How much longer is it going to go on? Verse 13, and the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So again, the angel asked the question. God answered the angel. Now the angel in verse 14. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And what he was saying again, that word jealous means somebody that loves somebody so much that they don't want anything to come between them. They don't want any of their affection shared with anybody else. They don't want anybody else sharing any part of their place in their heart. And God says, I am jealous for Zion. I have a great jealousy for them.
Notice what he says. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen. I'm very angry at all the heathen that are around. I mean, they're sitting at ease, and they got it easy. I'm very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, but I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. I was thinking about this. I never have thought about this before. God says, I'm looking at all the heathen that are at ease. Now, I'm very displeased with them. I was a little displeased with my people. Let's stop and think about that. A little displeased with his people. He tore down Jerusalem. He tore down the temple. He tore down the walls. And he sent them into captivity for 70 years because he was a little displeased with them. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want God to get displeased with me. Not even a little bit. Huh? I mean, if that's the kind of punishment that comes with a little displeasure, can you imagine what God would do if he really got mad? Now, again, I'm making a point. I'm exaggerating the point. But he says, I'm very displeased with the heathen. I mean, I used them to bring affliction on my people. But what God was saying was, my displeasure with my people doesn't last forever. I love them too much. If they'll turn back to me, I'll turn back to them. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. With mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts. And a line, or a surveyor's line, shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. They will rebuild the city. And they will rebuild the houses. I'm glad we have a God that loves us enough to chastise us. You know, a parent that doesn't discipline their children don't love them very much. If your child ever said to you, you must not love me because you spank me all the time. You need to go right back to him and say, no, I spank you because I love you. And children, even though they might not say it with words, they want somebody to love them enough to discipline them. They want somebody to love them enough to draw the lines around, and when they get out of those lines, let them have it. And as children of God, we're not any different. He proves his love to us as he disciplines us. And I'm glad his anger doesn't endure very long. Weeping may do endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Lord's anger won't last. The psalmist says the Lord's anger won't last. Verse 17, cry yet saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. I'm going to build my cities, and I'm going to prosper them. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion. This distress won't last very long. Temple will be rebuilt. The walls will be rebuilt. The city will be rebuilt. And shall yet choose Jerusalem. I'll restore the glory. It'll be my city again. The Messiah. Doesn't say it here, but I'll just give you a fast forward to the last chapter. The Messiah will rule from Jerusalem. So listen to the message of God. Turn to him. Don't turn away from him. Turn to him. And he will turn to us. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.